Okay, thanks, Andy. So let's have a look at this character this morning. Simon Peter, and another appearance of the Lord Jesus. And we're thinking about seven men in a boat this morning. And we see John's record of another appearance of the risen Lord. Now, as we think of Simon Peter, are we attracted to this guy? Davies, okay? All right, what's attractive about Peter? Where do we feel that maybe we're just like him?
We mess up.
We mess up, okay? All right, what was yours, Sue?
It does things that we do.
It does things that we do, okay? So in all of his mishaps and everything else, we see something of ourselves in him. And, Simon Peter, what a wonderful character. There he is, opening his mouth and putting his foot in it over and over again. And, what can we learn from this guy? And, we see how that, it's warts and all and everything else, but there's something attractive to him. Who would like to work with Simon Peter? It'd have been pretty tough working with him, wouldn't it? Okay, and so on. But isn't it true that most people who do a great work for God, when you look at them, you kind of think, well, actually, they'd be pretty hard to work with. What about the Apostle Paul? Would you like to work with him? Well, there's many things about him where you say, yeah, I'd love to be his partner. But he didn't mince his words, did he, did the Apostle Paul? He had a great love for people, but we see how that, hey, if you didn't meet the mark, then, you're out. And Barnabas had to pick up the pieces with John Mark. But later we see how that John Mark had come good, and Paul recognised how that, he was worthwhile for the ministry. But these guys sometimes, perhaps a little bit difficult to work with, but a lot that they can tell us. And where would the world be without men like Simon Peter and the Apostle Paul? These were passionate about the Lord. They loved the Lord, and they were his men for their time to get the message out to the crowds. So let's have a look at this. We know what's happened. The Lord has died. He's been buried. He's been raised to life the third day. And the followers at different times, they're coming to see that, yes, the Lord has risen indeed, but their journey to belief is sometimes slower than others, and so on. And, here is Peter on this day, and what does he do? We see how it says, later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened, John tells us. And it all started with Simon Peter saying, I'm going fishing. And what's wrong with going fishing? Well, if you go back to Luke chapter 5, that wasn't his commission to go fishing for fish. He had been given the commission of fishing for men, and that had not stopped. Yes, he denied his Lord and so on. He felt terrible inside and so on, but here he is saying, I'm going fishing. And what was he doing? He was actually not just doing his own thing and going his own way, but he was leading others to do the same. There are others, six others, who said, hey, we'll come with you too. And it never occurred to Peter that Jesus might have other plans for him. And we see here how Peter was going back to the old life. And isn't it true on our journey? Just like Peter, we can mess up and we can get into a place where we think that all hope is gone and so on. And we just go back to what we used to do. And we can be in a very, very bad place. But here in verse 3, it says, so they went out in a boat, but they caught nothing all night. What an expedition. Anyone been fishing? I know Josh goes fishing quite regularly at Pine Lake and catches nothing. Where is he? Oh, there he is, okay, and Richard Comfort as well, and this year we haven't caught one fish, but hopefully as the water gets warmer we can catch fish. So when you fish, you want to catch fish, and but this particular night they'd been fishing all night and caught nothing, John records for us. And, well, any disciple who acts independently deserves to fail. And when we just do things on our own and do our own thing, well, if it doesn't work out, don't be surprised. We need to be those who are doing the will of our Master. And he wills that all men should be saved. And his provision is so that all might come to repentance and faith in him. And we see how that, yes, if we go off and do our own thing and that doesn't work out, don't be surprised. We should be about the Lord's business here on this earth. And, well, it was a reminder of number one, as they'd been out there. Peter had already met the Lord when Andrew had come to him and said, "Look, we found the Messiah." And he introduced his brother to the Lord Jesus there, the Messiah. And then we see how that in Luke chapter 5, Peter had his commission when the Lord told him from that moment onwards. And there'd been another night when he had caught nothing. Here was a professional. And the Lord, who was the Lord, he said, "Look, throw your nets onto the other side of the boat." And, "Hey, Lord, we've been fishing all night and not caught a thing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets." And then there was a massive catch of fish, and the nets were breaking. And that was his commission. And so here is a reminder. This is the risen Lord. And we see how that on this particular night, again, they had caught nothing. It should have been about the Master's work. And it wasn't fish anymore, it was catching men. Do you know that commission that was given to Simon Peter, and that commission that was given to those who saw the Lord ascend into heaven, is the same commission that every believer has today. It's all about fishing. Not fishing for fish, but fishing for men. And women, boys and girls. And well, I wonder, how are you doing as a fisherman here this morning? How are you doing in fishing for men? As you look back over your life, can you see those fish that you've caught, those people that you've brought to Jesus, that you've managed to talk to about the Lord, and they've come to faith in him? We're meant to be fishermen for men. That's the work that God has given us here on earth. And time is running out. And we see how that to go through life's journey, not just a night and catch nothing, but to come to the end of our lives as believers and look and say, "Well, I've caught nothing." What a terrible place that is. And we see how that, yes, God has saved us. And we're going to be with him forever when we die, or when the Lord Jesus returns for us. And there are great rewards out there. The Lord wants to reward us for all that we've done for him. And we can do this, we can do that, and we can do the other. But at the end of the day, what fish have we caught? What have we done in this great fishing expedition to bring the people of this world into a right relationship with God through them coming to faith in the Lord Jesus, the one who loved them and died for them there on the cross and rose again the third day? These men, these seven men in a boat, they had forgotten the commission, and they fished all night and they caught nothing. But in the spiritual realms and in this whole idea of catching people for the Lord, is it true that we've been just the same, we've caught nothing? Let's be those who are really looking to catch fish. Let's be patient, let's persevere, let's be doing what we can as we throw out the line and so on, and try and bring one in here. Some struggle, some are a real pain to get in to land, but hey, keep going. Okay, keep praying and keep talking and keep inviting and keep doing all that we can to catch fish, to catch people for him. So reminder number one, they caught nothing. And you see, Peter, he was just returning to the old life as he went fishing that night. And he was a leader, he was a man of action, and he always had to do something. There are those who follow, but Peter was a doer. And it's good to have doers, people who don't just sit back and let everything happen around them. We need people who are doers and people who are people of action. And yet, people of action get it wrong. But at least they're doing something. And we see how that Peter not only went his own way, he went back to his old life, but he also caused six of the others to do the same too. How sad. And so here's the situation on the Sea of Galilee. Seven men in a boat fishing for fish, and they catch nothing. And Peter, this night and this early morning, is going to learn many things about the Lord. And so let's go on that journey with him. And so as daybreak was happening at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. And he called out to them. And if you remember what Andy read, "Fellas, have you caught any fish?" And who was it who was on the shoreline? Was it someone who was wanting to buy fish from the fishermen? "Have you caught any fish?" And well, the answer comes, "No." Oh dear, what a wasted night. What a waste of time. And we need to be careful that we don't waste our time in this world. And we need to make the most of the time that the Lord gives us to be about his work and doing the things that please him. And see how that Jesus arrived in time to solve their problems. Where was breakfast? Where was dinner that day? They had caught nothing, and Jesus always arrives in time to solve our problems. And it's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes we look to the Lord to do something miraculous, and it's all about miracles, we think. But actually, it's often very much about the ordinary, where the Lord is just working things out for good. And let's not get trapped in looking for a miracle when the Lord is working the ordinary things of life and working his purposes out. And we might think it's a miracle here. It might be just one of those ordinary things. Maybe from where the Lord had been, he could see a great shoal of fish that was coming on the other side of the boat. Who knows? It may well be miraculous. We don't need to argue about it. But what we see is that this, the Lord says, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." And who was Jesus to tell them how to fish? Well, he's the Lord, he's the master, he's the creator of all things. And Peter was the professional and it just didn't work. He caught nothing. Now the Lord, the master of the universe, the creator of all things, says, "Hey, throw your net over the other side." And here it is, early morning. And the best time to catch fish is during the night and so on. And they knew that. But we see how that Jesus, he came to show himself to them and to teach them things about himself. And so it was reminder number two. There in Luke chapter 5, at his commissioning time, we see how Jesus had said, "Throw your net on the other side." And no doubt, Peter, maybe the penny was dropping, he reminded himself how there'd been another occasion. And the Lord had told him to do this, and he'd said, yeah, "Lord, we've fished all night and caught nothing, but at your word, we'll let down the net." There was a seed of faith there that something would happen as he followed the Lord. And so, we see how that this was reminder number two. But then as they go out and drop down the nets, they have this massive, massive catch of fish. And John says they just couldn't haul it in because there were so many fish in it. And it appears that it's John. It appears that it's John when he sees what has happened. Well, it's down to him. It's down to the Lord. He's the one who's done this. And such a great catch of fish so that the nets were, well, they couldn't contain any more fish. And, well, we see how that they now saw what he saw. They now saw what he saw. And this multitude of fish, this mega catch here on the Sea of Galilee. And you know, as believers, sometimes as we think about the spiritual harvest in this world, as we think about fishing for men, as Jesus spoke about, perhaps we don't see things as he sees them. And we go about our daily business. We go about just the our chores and all the just daily things of life. And we just don't see what he sees. But as we have a godly perspective on things, as we look at this world and the people of this world, God sees in every person great value. And in every single person, God's heart, he has a heart of love for them. And the people who are the cast-offs of society, God loves them. Those who are high and mighty, those who've got so much of this world, he sees them as so poor because they don't know him. And, well, all of these people from all the different classes, from the poor to the most wealthy, we see how God loves every sinner. And God has provided for every sinner there at the cross. And well, we need, if we're believers here this morning, to see people as he sees them. They're lost in need of a saviour. And he's given us our job. He's given us all that we need. And we're fishermen, whether we're good at it or not. We're fishermen and he wants us to catch fish. And he's not left it to the work of angels. No. Angels aren't... He's left it to people like us. And we see how that, yes, for the first time, they saw what he saw. This great multitude of fish. And the Lord wants his home filled with people. People who were once lost. Lost sinners, but have been introduced to the Saviour by those who are his followers, his children. And we're his children this morning if we've believed in the Lord Jesus. And he wants us, the big priority in our lives, yes, is to get to know him, but also to make him known amongst everyone. And in this family week that we've got, this is just one thing that we've done. But what an opportunity. It's not for seeing numbers, although numbers are important. But it's for seeing the lost come to know Jesus. That is exciting. That is wonderful. There is nothing like it in this world to see sinners who've been saved by grace. And that's all we are, isn't it? But to see others, neighbours, work colleagues, people we've never met before. Hey, we can do our part. So they saw what he saw. It was reminder number three. Peter could have remembered that great fish, where that great catch, where they had to summon James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and their boat to come and help them as the nets were tearing there in Luke chapter 5. But then we see how that when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed to shore. Well, this is Simon again. He wasn't going to wait for them getting to shore. He wants to be close to the Lord who he denied three times. And here he is, just filled with distress and disappointment in himself. that he had denied his Lord these three times, and yet he just wanted to get close to him, and he'll deal with all the issues at a later time. And so here is Peter jumping in and getting close to his Saviour, getting close to his Lord. But then as the others come, we see how that when they eventually got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. And John puts all the detail in. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire. A charcoal fire. And also some bread. Where did the Lord get the fish from? He's capable of everything, isn't he? He doesn't need fishermen. He's capable of everything. And there he had. He had breakfast already almost on the plate. And there it is. And this is reminder number four. No doubt going to the high priest's house and the courtyard there. And there was the fire burning and Peter going to warm himself. And here is a reminder to him as they get onto the beach that morning. But look what the Lord says. Bring some of the fish you've just caught. Okay, and what's in it for us here? We're labourers together with him. Yes, he had provided fish, but hey, bring some of what you've caught as well and bring it here. And yes, in this great work of evangelism, of reaching the lost in this world, God has chosen people like you and people like me to make this wonderful news known. Isn't that amazing? If you were him, would you choose you? Or would you choose some other way? But hey, he's chosen to use people like us. Yes, we fail, we disappoint, we mess up. But hey, that's the way God has chosen it to be. We are co-laborers with him in this wonderful work of reaching the lost in this world. And so we see how, here that how it says when they got there, they were found breast. Oh dear, I've gone backwards. There we go. So what do we get then? After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? People can argue over what are these? Is it the fish? Is it the other disciples? And so on, but it doesn't really matter. Do you love me more than these? And Simon's response is, yes, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. And so Jesus then says, feed my lambs. And so from fishing, we now go to shepherding. And we see how that, yes, the Lord had a great work for Peter to do in reaching the lost. But he also had a great work for him to do in shepherding those who were children of God. And so feed my lambs. And the lambs, the new ones, they need more care and more love and more support. But they need to have a shepherd who is caring for them. And Jesus said for the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And again, the second time, Simon says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then on this occasion, Jesus says, feed my sheep. And that was the second time, and no doubt this was another reminder to Simon, because then the question came again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And at this, Peter's starting to get a little bit agitated, and Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And you know, throughout all of his denials, there'd never been a moment when Peter didn't love the Lord. He just wasn't strong enough. He just wasn't able to be the person that he ought to be in those situations. And we see how that, Jesus again says, then feed my sheep. And the Lord puts Peter here back into service. And yes, there was three denials and now three opportunities for him to say that he loved the Lord. But the Lord hadn't given up on Peter. He'd failed, yes, but he's restored. And isn't it wonderful that the Lord is able to restore his people? when we've gone our own way, when we've done our own thing, when we've disappointed, when we've failed, when we've sinned, there is restoration available. And the Lord can then put us back into service. And what a service it was there on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and he preached, and 3,000 fish, 3,000 Jews recognized who Jesus was, and they trusted him as their Savior. A few days later, another 5,000 believe. And Peter, he was very much involved in evangelism, in reaching the lost. But turn over a few pages in your Bible and you'll see how that Peter was also a shepherd. And there in 1 Peter chapter 5, he starts to speak to elders of the church and write to them and giving them advice of how an elder should shepherd the flock, the sheep, the believers in the fellowship. And so, yes, there's all this business about catching fish, absolutely, for all of us. But then there's also this whole idea of shepherding the flock and the lambs, taking care of them in a very special way, and then feeding the sheep and making sure that the wolves don't come in and so on. And so we see how that Peter, he turned out good in the end. God did a mighty work in him. And he was able to serve his Saviour faithfully. But knowing Peter, that wasn't the end of the story here in John 21. We see how that he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved just there in the background and so on. So Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" And so on. And John is telling us who it is. It's himself. And Peter, he's going to be martyred at some point. And it seemed like John was going to live forever and he wasn't going to die and all the rest of it. And what did the Lord say? He just said, "Mind your own business, Peter." Yeah. And isn't it true? There's so many times when we should just mind our own business. Get on with the job. Get on with the job that the Lord Jesus has given us to do in reaching the lost and then caring and shepherding the sheep. We've got a wonderful opportunity coming up in a few weeks' time. And yes, there'll be an enemy at work. Let's not fall to his devices. Let's not allow him to get in and spoil. This is a wonderful opportunity where night by night, the gospel will be explained through testimony, but also through the preaching of the gospel. And it's powerful. And it's the way God has chosen to help sinners come to faith in the Lord Jesus. And well, let's not stand in the way of that work, but let's get on board and do all that we can to bring others to him. Let's pray. Lord, we want to say thank you for your word, and we thank you for these powerful events that tell us of people who in so many ways are just like us, in their failings, in their mishaps, and even their sin. And Lord, we pray that we, like them, would get back on track. And if we've moved away, if we've drifted, help us to go to that place where we lost our way. And we thank you that you do want to restore those who've wandered from you. And we thank you that when we've sinned, there's a way back. We can just confess our sins. And you've promised to be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you that we can be people that you can use in your precious work of reaching the lost. Help us to see people as you see them. Help us to see the needs of those around us, those who seem to have lost everything and everything's fallen apart, but also those people who seem to have it all together, yet they still don't know you. Lord, we pray that we would play our part in these days, in these weeks ahead, and for the rest of our lives in seeking to get involved in this most precious of works, reaching the lost whom Jesus came to save. We thank you for that provision that was there for us, but was there for them too. We pray that we wouldn't be disobedient children in not playing our part in reconciling people to yourself. Lord, we pray that you would indeed bless us through this day, for our time together, our fellowship, and the teaching tonight. We pray that that would be helpful, instructive, and a blessing to us. Pray for the Just Looking group tonight too, that these people who don't know you as yet, thank you that they've been excited by your word and convinced by so many things to this point. We pray that we'd have the joy of seeing people saved and going on with you, and perhaps their family members being encouraged to come along at the family week. And so we commit that to you as well. And so, Lord, again, we want to thank you for your truly amazing love to us. And we thank you for one another. And we pray that you bless our time of fellowship now. Amen.